Another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Oh boy, here we go, getting on into a wonderful, wonderful adventure. And you know, we have a guiding light, a beam, a lighthouse that guides us every week with the idea of let's bring you something that really helps your life to be better. And this has been condensed into a couple lines of a prayer that is kind of like one of my catch-all prayer to try to take care of everything on the planet all at once, and it's a lot to do, and so here's how I phrased it. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so that we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes. So that's what gets me focused, and I invite you to pull something together that just tingles you when you say it about let's have a beautiful life for everyone on this planet. Okay. So here we go as we get into the show today. I want to first acknowledge our sponsor, AdvancedLivingComfort.com. You may have realized, or this may be new news to you, our high-tech electric world is fabulous in so many ways. The downside of it, unfortunately, is that it creates energy that is hard on the body, and some people can't even live in urban areas. They have to get away from it. Well, many years ago, I lived next to an elementary school under power lines and got ill and didn't know why, and 7 years after trying everything, a doctor introduced me to this comfort technology. And saw a digital clock on his desk. He points to it and says, well, it's been modified, and it harmonizes the electric energy. Try it. And I did, and oh my gosh, what a difference it made. Turned my life around. So check out AdvancedLivingComfort.com and discover what it could do for you, and see that others like Reverend Michael Beckwith of The Secret, Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup for the Soul books, Harvard Medical Doctor Eva Selhub, many others. So AdvancedLivingComfort.com. And now, as we want to get into some more comfort, our guest today is going to help us to learn about some of the things that we can do for better communication patterns, and she has got some great experience, especially in a work setting. And I mean, by golly, talk about a pressure situation to do this. As you know, companies have downsized the workforce, and oops, they forgot to downsize the workload. Ah, So the people that were left with jobs got to pick up the slack for a bunch of folks that didn't have jobs anymore. And obviously, that's going to create more stress. So get ready for some fun today. And because we say in the world, why, that's not fair. Well, our guest today happens to be Sylvia LaFaire, Dr. Sylvia LaFaire, and she is the president of Creative Energy Options. It's a global consulting company that encourages employees and executives to forge new behavior patterns for success by developing healthy and, get this, sustainable relationships in the workplace. Two key factors. And Dr. LaFaire's programs and executive coaching impact individuals and teams to decrease conflict and increase productivity. And her award-winning book, Don't Bring It to Work, in 2009, is among the top 20 for emerging leaders and has won 8 business book awards. I mean, this is championship. Her research shows that much as we'd like to believe that our behavior is entirely rational and governed by our conscious mind, Well, of course, we know that. Well, what she's going to help us to learn is that our thoughts and actions can also be driven by the roles we learned in our families as children. And for some folks, under pressure, they might tend to revert to old patterns, and this can often result in creating workplace drama. And I mean, if you're watching a drama TV show on TNT or some network, I mean, that'd be entertaining. But when it's your job on the line, workplace drama is scary, and it diverts attention from the business, and it undermines productivity and just the joy of working. So she's a keynote speaker, a workshop leader, webinar presenter. Sylvia engages audiences with her natural storytelling ability. She weaves her knowledge about personal relationships and business culture, and I love this part, into easily understood messages, because we've all heard people talk, and we went, what were they saying? So get ready for some fun with Sylvia. She uses humor and suspense and leaves her audiences with information to take back to the office or at home and immediately put into practice. So let us welcome our wonderful guest, Dr. Sylvia LaFaire. Hi there.
Well, hey, that was a great introduction. I thought I really want to meet myself.
Yes. Yes, let me, since I have your phone number, I will share that with you, and then later you can call.
Oh, thank you.
And do try to be surprised when the call comes in.
I'll do my best, Ken.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, there's a wonderful book that you've written, and of course we made mention of another book that Don't Bring It to Work, and certainly we can visit about that. And then this new book, I love it, Gutsy, How Women Leaders Make Change. So would you share a little bit about what's prompting you to write this book?
Absolutely. Yeah, when Don't Bring It to Work came out, it really kind of opened up the whole world of looking at the fact that it is an illusion that we're supposed to be different at work than we are at home. That was the old model from the Industrial Revolution. You know, leave who you are at the door, drop it in a bucket, go in, become a machine, go out, pick yourself up, and go home. And what I've been tracking is where women fit in today's workplace. And I don't think there's anybody who's walking and talking and breathing and who looks around who isn't aware that women's roles have changed radically. So I decided to really do a big scope. And part of it was for me to look back at all the research and where we've been and where we are now and where we need to go, and the essence of Gutsy really is about creating a new level of partnership with other women and also with the men we work and live and love. Mm. Work with, live and love. Not necessarily the same.
Okay, this is good.
Just underlining.
All right, this is helpful. Well, I'm suspecting from your background, Dr. LaFaire, what that you've been through a whole bunch of stuff, and it makes me curious about what story can you tell about what happened when you were gutsy.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As I was writing the book, I made a decision because my background is as a family therapist. That's where I started my career. And a quick story is we and our had a program for parents whose adolescent kids were driving them a bit bonkers, and the room was absolutely filled. And by the end of the evening, a man walked over, and he said, "Will you come work with my senior leadership team?" That was still in the family therapy days. And I said, "Why?" And he said, "They're fighting." And I said, "So what?" He said, "But Sylvia, you work with people who have to get along, families, and they have to get along." So I went in, worked with the group, and as they say, the rest is history. And that's where Don't Bring It to Work kind of had its foundation. And then I started to get a lot of women who would call and say, "I'm not being heard at work. You know, I was just promoted to a senior position, but, you know, they politely listen to me and then kind of do what they want," they being the men in the group. And I thought, there's something missing here. So as I started to more deeply listen, what I saw was that we all have old habits, old patterns that have developed, and that if we haven't broken through that belief system, no matter how good we are in our specific work, the belief of how men and women behave, who we are as women. I haven't written one for men. I don't think I could. I think a man has to write that one. But how we are as women will shine through. So I began to look, and I went back, and this is a quick, fun story, but I sort of tracked myself back to sixth grade, where I was vice president of my sixth grade class in elementary school. And, of course, the president of the class was a guy. And I was home for a week sick with the flu. And when I came back, my friends all ran over and said, "Guess what? We are going to impeach Arnold Schultz, and you're going to become president of the class." Well, that was good enough for me. And finally, after all the enticement fell away, I said, "Well, what did he do?" And they said, "Nothing." That was still good enough for me. I said, "But we have to have a reason." And they said, "Well, he's boring, and you're a lot more fun." Good enough for me. I was going to be president of the class. Anyway, I went home. I have an older brother, and I told him the story and that we were impeaching Arnold because he was boring. And my brother said, "You can't do that." And I said, "Too bad." You know? Anyway, I got a really good lesson in governmental ethics. A lot of other people could use an older brother like mine right now. But anyway, what happened was we went back in school a couple days later. We were having a class meeting, and the teacher said, "Well, Sylvia, where do you stand on this?" And I had to be gutsy. And I said, "I can't go along with it. I mean, he has not done anything, you know, impeachment. He wasn't looking at other girls. He wasn't, you know, stealing out of the cookie jar." And I said, "I can't go along with it." And after a while, the thing sort of fell apart, and he stayed president. But here's what happened. My friends wouldn't talk to me for almost a month. They were furious that I wouldn't go along with them. So I remember looking back thinking, gutsy says you're alone. Gutsy means, you know, you don't have friends. Gutsy means be careful. And as I grew up, there were times where I was ready to take a stand and held back. So over time, I began to look at this. And when I wrote the book, that story returned to me. And I realized that for a long time, I had anchored in that feeling of be careful because you'll be alone if you take a stand. And I have obviously changed that since then. But I saw that in a lot of the women that I was doing executive coaching with. So they had to find their own story of where they had taken stands and it didn't work for them, and begin to reframe it. And thus the book Gutsy was born.
Oh, wow. And you're making mention in there, I guess, of having met a variety of women that for some it's relatively easy for them to speak out, and others, that can be very challenging. Can you explain a little bit about what could be behind some of that?
Well, I think as in the book, I really take women through their own lives till present time to look at the messages that were given. Little girls, you know, and then you fill in the blank. Little girls are polite. Little girls are kind. Little girls share all the time. And, you know, here's what I came to is that there is a caring aspect that we as women were programmed with, and it's partly genetic also, whereas males on the planet were more programmed to be daring. And so what I do is help through these exercises in the book, help women begin to see how they can take some steps for themselves. Now, that's to become more daring, because I really believe that that's what's happening, and women are doing that more and more. But what happens is, if the old belief is a self-fulfilling prophecy that do it and you're going to regret it, we don't do it as playing full out. So I give women, you know, examples and opportunities to look at themselves, to be able to speak out more. And then there are others who, through their childhood and however they, you know, got the messages as girls growing up, it was okay. Some of them have gone over the top, and they need to learn how to pull back. So here's, Ken, really the essence is, I also want to help people learn how to, quote, practice safe stress. So it's kind of an important thing for this day and age. And here's the image of it, that we all have these patterns that we had as kids, and they were there for security and survival. And the safe stress zone is that middle zone where, you know, you can manage when people are annoying you. You know how to respond. On one side of the safe stress zone is Freakoutville. And that's where the drama queens and the rebels and the overachievers all live and make a lot of noise. The other side of the safe stress zone is Zombieville, and that's where we shut down and we won't take a stand, and that's where the avoiders and the deniers go, and often the martyrs go there and the victims go there. So we have to find out what our patterns are, and, you know, if I may, on my Sylvia LaFaire website, there is a free pattern quiz you can take that's weighted. So you just answer the questions, and if you're not sure, just take the best guess you can. And at the end, it'll give you a very good idea of, you know, what patterns you have developed that you're playing out in the workplace.
Okay.
And better than that is, if you call us, then we can give you, or read either of the books, you can get a sense of how to transform those patterns to their healthy opposite.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. That's wonderful. And I'm curious, because of the diversity of your studies, would you share, I guess, I don't know if you'd call them some of your heroes or women that you admire as gutsy women?
Well, I think right now, it's interesting that for a long time there were so few to pick from, and one that always stood out was a woman like Eleanor Roosevelt, who did, in a time when nobody was, the women were really sort of on the sideline, she spoke out and did so much for humanity. We now have a lot of women who are making a difference, and you know, you can look at Angela Merkel, you can look at Hillary Clinton. They're out there, and they're there looking to be peacemakers, you know, in a very difficult kind of place. I also still, and I just heard her speak about 6 weeks ago, think that Gloria Steinem has done an incredible amount that is positive and helpful in a very elegant way. You know, you think back, it wasn't that long ago that the word Ms., MS, didn't even exist. Mm-hmm. And you were either a Mrs., and if you were over a certain age, you were a spinster. And those days are gone. So I look back, and it's interesting. Another, you know, from the women's movement, I think there were some really key people. And Betty Friedan has such a, Bella Abzug, I'm sorry, has such a great quote. She said, she's talking about women, we have come down from our pedestals and up from the laundry room. So, you know, we're kind of meeting in a new place.
Oh, that is just so fabulous. I love it. Now, you've shared a few. I'm wondering if you could give an overview of what you see, because you're talking, your focus of your work, with family work or corporate work, or business work, is about healthy, sustainable partnerships, interactions. What can you share about how do gutsy women partner with the men in their lives?
Well, I think it's up to us to understand the men in our lives, as it is you guys to understand us. And so in the book and in the workshops I do, we really talk about the differences in brain physiology and genetics. And it just gets very interesting. Here's one example, and I just think this is so much fun, is that there's a lot of research that shows, no shock, that women talk more than men. Does that shock you?
No, not at all.
No, I didn't think it would.
No.
But here's where they did some research, and they showed that men, and I'm kind of averaging this out, this isn't the specific number, but that men speak approximately 4,000 words a day, and women speak about 7,000. So it's a big difference.
Oh, okay. So this is a count of words. And
yeah.
What I was wondering about as you were talking about the men versus women thing there, I didn't know if men would get credit for little grunts.
I'll have to recheck the research. Leaving the grunts aside,
okay,
what I have said to women is, if you really need to have a deeper dialogue with your boss or a colleague or even somebody you're in a personal relationship with, do it before lunch. You guys have more words then. Don't do it after dinner. And, you know, a lot of it is interesting because there's also research where, you know, they have a lot of women saying by the time that they come home at dinner time, you know, the husband walks in, it used to be he grabbed the mail. We don't have that much mail anymore, but, you know, he'll go to the computer. But that men really don't want to talk that much, and it's frustrating. And once we understand some of these things, we can adjust ourselves to each other in a more effective way.
Yeah. Well, would you contrast, I'm just trying to think, your opinion about the difference between, if there is a general one, I know this is very general, but ways that women would take the stress of their day and get some relief or distance from it versus men.
Well, I think that one of the things, as I looked at patterns and I was looking intergenerationally, what are the messages that have been handed down, not just from mother to daughter, but from grandmother, great-great-grandmother, you know, however far we can go back. And a lot of the messages have created, when I talk about, there are 13 of the most common patterns that I've come up with. One of them is that really women relate to is the pleaser, you know, need to be accepted all the time and need to say yes, even if in your heart you really want to say no. And I think that's been for women, it's been where the stress, where they haven't been able to practice safe stress, because there is a place where they will say, well, then I'll just do it, or of course, if you need me, and it goes on, and there is a place where we have to learn, and I do teach this, I'm not the only one, but it's a good line to remember, and that is that no is a complete sentence. You know, you don't have to defend, explain, or justify, you just have to say, no, I can't do that right now. or no, you know, I need some time for myself. And women are beginning to look at this. There still is the difference, and so many women feel that they still have 75% of the load if both male and female work. But it's women's responsibility to make the changes. And as I said before, with these patterns, I'll tell you a few more of them in a second, with the pleaser, the transformed pleaser, if you flip it to its healthy opposite, becomes a good truth teller. And a good truth teller can say, yes, this will work for me, or no, it won't, and then stay steady with it and not crumble.
Uh-huh.
You know? Another one that women have taken a lot on their shoulders is the martyr. You know, and that's the person who comes in early, stays late, and then makes sure everybody knows that they were up at 2 o'clock in the morning worrying about business, and since they couldn't sleep, they bake cookies for everybody. And meanwhile, you know, they're different than the pleaser. The pleaser doesn't ask anything back. They just physically start to deteriorate. The martyr, on the other hand, wants something from you, either your firstborn child or a new car or extra, you know, vacations. And the martyr, when they get, and women have taken that role on a lot. Now, there are men who do this too. This is not just women. But as I looked intergenerationally through the generations, the pleaser and the martyr have been two that have been really very much in the domain of many, many women. So the martyr transformed becomes an integrator. And that's if your argument's sake, carrying a very big rock up a very steep hill, the martyr would do it alone and make sure everybody knew. The integrator says, you take it here, I'll help over there, let's get somebody else. And by the time they get it to the top of the hill, nobody is overexhausted. So it's about making these kinds of changes and being conscious of it.
Huh. So, like, if you're doing your work going into a business, I'm wondering, are you able to take a group of people and begin to give them examples of these different styles so that a person can figure out, yes, I can do that, or no, I got taught this other stuff as a kid. Do you help folks to recognize that?
Well, here's what happens when we go into organizations, and usually we'll work with teams, and we'll teach them about these 13 patterns. We'll show it to them. They're pretty obvious once you get it. You know if you're a rebel or if you work with a rebel or if you're with a super achiever, you know, the one who's the me guy, kind of guy or gal who wants to be first with everything. So if we do this, and it's usually a two-and-a-half, three-hour program, we take a break. And at the break, as people walk out, I hear them saying, that sounds just like my boss, or that's just like my colleague, or that's just like my mother-in-law. So anyway, when they come back, I'll say, who here saw these patterns? And every hand goes up. And then I'll say, who saw patterns on themselves? And maybe four or five hands go up. And that's when we start to do the deeper work and say, wait a minute, you need to be able to find out what your patterns are. So if you want, I'll tell you very quickly how this started with the patterns, and it's a story from me. I kind of knew these, you know, when I'd work with families, because it's almost like we play roles in the family, and if there's a super achiever there, the me, I'm wonderful, there's usually somebody who feels like there's a procrastinator who's afraid, you know, to take a risk because they'll never be as good as the other brother or sister. And this stuff goes on and on. So here I am in the workplace and not thinking about this. And one morning I go to a meeting. I'm consulting with a lot of different companies. I go to a meeting in the morning and something happened that was very upsetting. And I just threw my hands up and said, oh, this is ridiculous. And I heard somebody say to somebody else, oh, she gets so dramatic. So I left the meeting, and I thought, oh, what do they know? You know. And I go to a meeting later in the afternoon, and different set of people. The only constant in this meeting was Sylvia. And, you know, something else had happened in a different situation, totally different, but it was very upsetting. So I kind of put my hand down on the desk, you know, a little harder than it needed to be. And I said, this has to stop. And somebody said, Sylvia, you know, cut the drama. So that's the second time, right? And I left the meeting and I said, what do they know, right? Because it's very change is not something we want to do. And I did not have anybody to teach me these patterns. Anyway, that night, three is the charm. And sometimes you hear it where you don't want to even more intently. I have two daughters and they were both in college at the time. And one of my daughters called and she's telling me something. And I said, oh, Julie, that's just ridiculous. And she said, you know, Mom, when you start getting dramatic like that, it's not even possible to talk to you. So how about if I call you another time? And she hung up the phone. And I sat there looking at that phone, thinking not very nice thoughts about her for a moment. And then I heard the voices of these others, and I went three times in a day, I better pay attention to me as a drama queen. And that was the beginning of learning to put these down. Now, the good news about a drama queen, and I want to say, Ken, there are plenty of drama kings out there also, is that we can transform that energy to become good storytellers.
Mm.
So that way, what happens is we still get the adrenaline rush, but in a positive way that makes a difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So for each of these patterns, could you say that it's like each one has a two sides to it, or?
Well, it's like a coin. You know, take a quarter, flip it over. It's the same coin, but something is different on the other side. It's really an energy thing. If we have the energy to you know, flail our hands and be overly dramatic, we can flip that energy. We still are using the energy. As I said, the adrenaline will still go, but we can do it in a positive way. It's just, this is where we have to become conscious of this. And you said it earlier, and I want to underline this. There are plenty of days at work that we can be mature and appropriate and responsible. But when stress hits the hot button, every one of us tends to revert back to the patterns we learned as kids to keep us safe and to help us survive. And we have to, that's one of the things we've been teaching in the workplace. And what happens is if you get a team together and everybody begins to own their own patterns and help each other, you know, to stay in the healthy side of it, productivity increases and creativity moves faster. We become faster and smarter.
You know, as you're sharing this, because to me this is profound work, and before I share my thought, would you please tell our listeners again how they can locate you, how they can take this free pattern aware quiz and get copies of the book, all that stuff, Sylvia?
Perfect. There are two websites. The one to go on that has the quiz is Sylvia with a Y, S-Y-L-V-I-A, LaFair, as you said, L-A, I guess I'm fair, L-A-F-A-I-R, .com, and you can get to the quiz. The other, to learn more about the things we do in our organization and another incredible program we have called Total Leadership Connections, that's a pretty deep program that's in its going into its 11th year, and we're starting our 54th program in October. Yeah, so 54. It's had a lot. 54. It's had a lot. It's a deep one, and it's very transformative. And I'm still passionate about it all these years later. Yeah, I haven't gotten bored, and I tend to get bored. So it.
Well, you know what'll happen if you get bored.
What'll happen?
Well, they'll impeach you.
You know, I never put that together till you just said it. That is so good. No wonder I'm always, everybody's saying, what happens if she gets bored? That was very good. Thank you. You made a difference for me today right there.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And so anyway, but the other website is CE, Charlie Edwards, ceoptions.com. And you can see what we're doing in both of them.
Okay. Well, it might be through some of this leadership training, because I'm listening to some of these things that you're able to do and patterns that you can help people to recognize. And then we talk about sometimes when people are under enough stress or their buttons get pushed, different ways of talking about it get triggered. There's a number of phrases, but they then go into some default mode that may be from childhood or something. And to me, there's an old, I don't know if it's Scottish or Gaelic, phrase that said, oh, what the power of the gift to give us, to see it ourselves is others see us.
Oh,
and,
beautiful. Exactly. And, Robert Browning, yes.
And then, so I'm thinking, would it be interesting to have a safe place for an executive to come where there was going to be a room where there was going to be filming going on, but they would be alone or perhaps with you coaching them and getting them to a place where the situation they were under was intense pressure and they got to respond, and it may be great, it may be they fall to pieces, and it won't matter because this is a totally safe place of discovery, because no matter how they respond, it's okay. The goal is to help them to be better and to have an ability for someone in this pressure place of having to perform, and then they blow it terribly and act like a little child and whatever, throw things, kick things, I don't know, bite your sandwich and not let you eat it. There's all kinds of terrible things, but to have that filmed that they could then, in a comfortable setting, watch and go, oh, I never knew.
Well, it's interesting. That's sort of close to what we do in our Total Leadership Connections program. It's
wow.
It's a four-session program. We don't film it. That doesn't happen. But we will not permit more than one or absolutely at the max two people from the same company to be in the program. And they have to have each other's permission to do that. So that it's people coming from all different companies, and it's so interesting because you can have somebody from a Fortune 100 finance company, and you can have somebody from a family business, and you can have an entrepreneur in there. Mm. And what we find out, I remember we had somebody from one of the big pharmaceutical companies in there at the same time with a VP from a company that builds cement factories. And she said to me, the gal from pharmacy, said, from the pharmaceutical world, said, I never knew or thought I'd be interested in knowing about cement. And he said, I've learned more about what to look for when I'm thinking about the pharmaceuticals. But what they found out, bottom line, was that the problems are not that different. That bottom line part of who we are as human beings. And we have a process in the third session called PEP Talk, which stands for Pattern Encounter Process, where you need to pick the pattern that you have found for yourself. Mm. Usually there are two or three that have our names really written on them of the 13, even though you can, when you look at the 13, and anybody who wants to email or call us, you know, we will send, there's a short list of the 13 that you can look through and really grab it pretty quickly, aside from taking the test.
Okay.
And what happens is that we can see ourselves, but the so this pattern encounter process is almost, it's sort of a gestalt kind of thing where you talk. You pick somebody in the room who acts as the person who is driving you crazy, who has pushed your buttons. And I have never found anybody in a work situation who couldn't find somebody that they really felt they needed to talk with, and they hadn't had either the courage or the right words to say it. And they practice it. And it seems like it would be the easiest thing to do in 5 minutes, but it's a good half hour till people really get the communication, the language, the capacity. And I'll give you one quick example is of somebody who needed to talk to his boss. And, you know, speaking truth to power is still uncomfortable for most of us. We learned it as kids, you know, if we said too much at home, you know, we'd either be sent to our room or whacked or something would happen. And you learn early to be careful. So truth to power, which is, I think it's one of the most important things that we should be doing in this day and age. Anyway, this guy needed to talk to his boss, who was one of these persecutor sort of bully types.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just wanted to say, you know, you're a bully and people can't stand listening to you. And I said, well, that's really going to get you very far. What finally he came up with, and this is the learning that goes on in this program, is to be able to say something like this to the boss. You know, you're a very powerful and well-thought-of person, because usually they are. Or you can just say you're very powerful, even if they're not well-thought-of. And what happens is people are afraid to tell you what they really think. And it's uncomfortable for me to do it, but at this point, I really feel like it would be a disservice to you and to me to stay silent. And what I want you to know is that if you could paint the vision, because the persecutor bully who wants to poke their finger in your eye, if you take that same index finger and point it up, they really have the skill to become great visionaries. So this man went in and said to his boss, if you could take the complaining you do or telling us how bad we do things or how wrong we are, and keep painting the picture, we will listen to you more, and I truly believe there will be more success. And he went in with the idea that, worst cases, he was going to lose his job, and if that happened, it wasn't a place he wanted to be anywhere, anyway, for any long time. But what happened is that it began to turn things around. The boss didn't thank him at the moment. He said, I need to think about it. And so this guy called me. He said, what did I do? Oh, my God. You know, I should have kept my mouth shut. I said, just give it a couple days. And in a couple of days, he was called in and thanked. And he said, what is it? The boss said, what is it about me that keeps people from telling me the truth? And from there, we're here to help each other grow. And I think you know that, Ken. I think just from the prayer you did at the beginning of this conversation, which is very beautiful, is we're here to make a difference in each other's lives. You're welcome. It's very beautiful. And if we see that that's what, the only reason we've created work is for another opportunity to grow who we are, to become the best we can be.
Yeah. With that kind of attitude, Sylvia, I'm certain that the people that are fortunate enough to get to interact with you are going to really find a lot of value. And now, do the two books, the Gutsy and Don't Bring It to Work, are they a nice combination to use together, or how would you work with those when someone's interested in pursuing this further?
Well, there's one other book that we really haven't done a lot to market, and it's an important one. There's Don't Bring It to Work, which gives a lot of the deep understanding and tons of good stories, and I want to say that every single story in both books are 100% true. I've changed names and sometimes industries because they're very personal, and it's not the kind of stuff that I believe. You know, this is not a reality show. I don't believe that we need to be out there being the Kardashians. These are people who have made deep changes in their lives, and sometimes not. I mean, there's some stories in there that are, you know, where things didn't break through, because that's called life. There's another book called The Pattern Aware Success Guide that goes along with, actually you can do it with either book, but it was written for the Don't Bring It to Work book. And it's kind of every day, it gives you something for 3 months, one thing to think about. You look at it in the morning, it takes maybe 3 minutes, you know, if you're a slow reader, 5 minutes to look at this, to think about, because it takes about 3 months for these patterns to start loosening their hold, to really begin to change. And then Gutsy came along, and there are a lot of exercises in Gutsy, and a lot of people who have started with Gutsy have then gone back to read Don't Bring It to Work and the Pattern Aware Success Guide. And the next one I'm working on right now, which is not yet named, but it really is about change. And you said it at the beginning of this, and you're so right. There's been a lot of downsizing of people, but not any downsizing of the amount of work. And so how do we handle more without caving, without, you know, getting sick, by staying in what I call the safe stress zone? And it's doable, but it has to be communicated and dialogued. So that one, hopefully, I'll have finished and out in the as the leaves turn in leaves turn in the east.
Now, with your time around this is a little bit from left field, but my understanding is that possibly originally in the Orient, maybe Japan or some of the countries there, they had adopted, and this is in some of the companies, where they would actually require people to take meditation breaks. They'd have set up a room, and it was a room that would be dimly lit and a nice recliner, and they would just go into that, and they were actually paid to take a break and to chill out. And I don't know if you're seeing any of that or familiar with this.
Well, it's just so interesting. I have a very dear friend who was one of the first, I think he was one of, in the first seven engineers at Google. And he's originally from Singapore. His name is Meng. And his passion is meditation in the workplace.
Ah.
And he is in process of gathering a lot of information so that, you know, we can see that it does make a difference, and people do behave with each other in a more caring, you know, and we show, quote, loving kindness.
Ah.
So my theory is there should be two rooms in every workplace. I haven't gotten far enough with this.
Yeah.
One would be a meditation room,
yeah,
and the other would be a screaming room.
My God, a woman after my own heart. My dream house has a room in it that is a safe expression room.
Perfect.
Where there's a drain, there's some water, access to water. There's also dishes or glassware that is usually not imported fine china. Unless, of course, you know, it could be a special executive's de-stress chamber, in which case you could get them the best. But but to have this place where things could be expressed or something could be broken, and it's not going to cause any harm.
Yeah.
And
beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Ah.
So ahead of the curve. I love it. That's beautiful, Ken.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just so glad that you're thinking that way, because to me, how many people would you have to have a conversation with in a safe place, in a relaxed place, where they weren't threatened in any way? It wasn't about fear of their job or anything. They could just talk. And if you talk to people, my opinion is that there's a huge number of folks with a ton of unexpressed, pent-up negative emotion because of all the insanity and the terrible ways that people, men, women especially, but men and women, have been treated for many centuries. Now, I mean, you may not agree with that, but that's just something from my study of history that says, well, golly, if you have of these huge number of people that have been subjected to this long term, and I don't see that it's gotten really materially better. So to have this room where people could go in, and if they needed to, release. Primal Scream Zone, whatever.
Well, I think, again, in some of the more advanced companies, they're beginning to look at what can we do. And, you know, there's this whole big thing about loyalty and, you know, people changing jobs very quickly. I really have seen that the companies that really tend to the mental health, physical and mental health of their employees, it's not just, you know, have a blood pressure test. It's really about what you and I are talking about and giving them the skills. You know, it's interesting because I got a call once from somebody who was in our leadership program, and the people in the program are, 90% of them are, their companies are sponsoring them to come, taking the time off and paying for them to do this. So
yeah.
There is a few, some people will pay for it themselves, but it's you know, not an inexpensive thing to do. So, but one day I get a call from a woman, and she said, I'm so-and-so's wife who was in the program that was going on at the time, and I immediately went to that, you know, place of, is everything okay? And she said, yes. I said, well, you know, tell me why you're calling. She said, to thank you. I said, for what? She said, I don't know.
I said, like him more than ever.
It was so funny, but she said, my husband, she, I don't know what you're doing, Sylvia. And she said, he doesn't talk about it a lot. But she said, he's just so much easier, and he listens differently, and the kids have noticed it. So she said, I just thought I needed to let you know that. I went, yes, you know.
Mm.
Isn't that cool? So
yeah.
Because we are human beings who are, we are complex, multi-layered human beings, and we need to be aligned with who we are so that we don't have this disconnect.
Sure.
That's what makes us sick also.
Now, I'm wondering, I don't know if that husband and wife are at all near your location. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I was just imagining the three of you together on a what would end up being possibly a YouTube video that is you and him interacting about your work and then bringing her in with the true-to-life follow-up, and then the two of them interacting to show, wow, here's the difference that this has created for us, maybe even, I don't know, about the kids, but to me, what a beautiful way to demonstrate the power of what you're offering.
We have not done that. People have suggested variations, so thank you for that. But I think it's on its way. But I'll tell you one quick funny one is somebody was getting married to a guy who, you know, had made a really lot of money. And she said to him, look, I don't want, the only thing I want in a prenup is for you to agree that you'll go through this. She had gone through the program, that you will agree to go through this leadership program. So he said, he was in shock, you know, but, you know, it wasn't about money. It was about really investing in their future.
Yeah, the relationship.
But it's really funny. He came in. He was a pretty high-powered Wall Street guy, and he, because our retreat center is between New York and Philadelphia, where we've been doing most of, although we've had people actually even fly in from Europe to do this. But anyway, he came into the first program looking like, you know, he would rather be on a bed of nails than sitting in that room. But it was part of their agreement to get married. and they've become really, really friends since then. And, you know, he has sent other people. But as I'll never forget, when he walked in and sat down, and I thought, oh, my God, the man is sucking on a lemon. And
you know, yes.
It was pretty funny. So anyway.
Well, Sylvia, this is exquisite, and I think what a beautiful way to wrap up. I feel like we're just getting started. That there's so much more you could share, and we've blazed through our time. And I just am so impressed. And would you help just as a quick wrap up to tell people how they can locate you again? The website.
Sure, I'd love to. It's Sylvia LaFaire, Sylvia with a Y, because I used to live in New Mexico and I always spelled it differently. So it's S-Y-L-V-I-A, Sylvia LaFaire, L-A-F as in Frank, A-I-R, .com. And the other website is a CE Options, Charlie Edwards, so it's Creative Energy Options, which is CEO Inc. for short. So CEOptions.com. And the phone number, if anybody would like to call, is 570-636-3858, and that's in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Wow. Fantastic. I am just so delighted for you to take time and share some profound work with us, Sylvia. Thank you.
Oh, and thank you for the great questions, and thank you for your own deep caring and your own deep work.
My pleasure. My pleasure. We'll certainly keep in contact. And to you, Sylvia, and to my beloved listeners, God bless, and goodbye for now. Let go.